Moncrief on News Talk.
Many listeners now sitting listening to us will be scoffing down the last of the hot cross buns today. But how exactly did hot cross buns as a festive treat come about? Joining me now is Dr. Eleanor Barnett, food historian and author of Leftovers, A History of Food Waste and Preservation, who has been researching this for English Heritage. Welcome to the show, Eleanor.
Hello, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Hot cross buns were never a thing really in my house, which made me ask my colleague this morning, are they a Protestant thing? Is there a religious divide between where hot cross buns sit?
Yeah, so we know for certain that hot cross buns, like we know them today, were being eaten in the 18th century. But before that, obviously into the Reformation, it's the history of hot cross buns is really shrouded in myth and debate and lots of religious tension. So in Elizabeth I's reign, they were actually not allowed to be eaten other than on Good Friday and other certain festival days. And there's the idea that Protestants thought that they were too Catholic because they had the cross on them and they sort of resembled the Eucharistic wafer.
That's gas, isn't it? And are hot cross buns, like, is the bun part something that we eat all the time and they just lob a cross on them to make them hot cross buns? Or is the whole recipe a particular thing that's just enjoyed at Easter?
Yeah, so I mean, if you think about a hot cross bun, it's quite similar really to lots of other sort of festive breads like panettone and things like that. They're essentially ordinary risen loaves of bread, but with the addition of some special and originally expensive ingredients like dried fruit, sugar, and lots of spices. So that made it special. And then, as you say, you lob the cross on as well, as a reference to the crucifixion on Good Friday.
And is there symbolism involved in the specific spices that are used in the recipe?
So in general, the spices are supposed to symbolize the spices that Christ's body would have been
embalmed
washed
with.
When he was in the tomb, although they wouldn't have been the same spices. So things like myrrh is what they would have used traditionally on bodies. But of course, hot cross buns are things like allspice and cinnamon, nutmeg, those sort of spices, which are very evocative, I think, of the early modern era.
Yeah, there's a kind of, if you ever walk into a kitchen where someone is baking them, there's kind of a waft of Christmas about it. Where you're like, it's another Catholic holiday. Let's eat something that tastes of cinnamon and allspice. And talk to me about the town of St. Albans and how that played kind of a crucial role in the story of hot cross buns.
Well, yes, again, it's one of those myths or theories that you can't prove either way. One idea for the origin of hot cross buns is the Alban bun, which was very similar, flour, eggs, yeast, currants, expensive spices again. Specifically attributed to a specific 14th century monk called Thomas Rockliffe. And they were certainly given out to the poor at St. Albans Abbey in 1361. And St. Albans Cathedral still makes the Alban buns each year. But like I say, that's debated whether or not we can really say that's the original hot cross bun.
There's very little that can be proved about it, I guess.
Exactly. Yes.
So in Ireland, we have Pancake Tuesday, which is the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday. I think that's actually probably everywhere. Do you have Pancake Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday in the UK?
Yes. Yes. Pancake Day, yeah.
So the theory that we were taught in school behind that was that basically you get rid of all of the nice things in the house for Lent and then you kind of have a miserable Lent with very little. So your flour, eggs and sugar are all used up on Pancake Tuesday and then you can have them again at Easter. So is there a narrative about, because I haven't heard of the hot cross bun theory, so I'm wondering if maybe it's like, oh, it's Easter again, now we can have the flour, eggs and sugar, which is basically pancake mix, few spices mixed in and we'll whip them up a different way and make hot cross buns. Is there a theory as to why on Easter Sunday we make these specific buns?
Yeah, well, as you say, so the Shrove era period, it was the carnival period when you would have, before Lent, used up everything that was going to be banned. And then around Easter, you could then start eating your Easter eggs again, which is why Easter eggs are Easter eggs. And of course, things like hot cross buns are rich buns with egg included as well. So yes, that's also kind of part of the festivity of the holiday.
I really start to associate them with Marks and Spencer's now. I'm not sure if anybody else does, but it just seems to be a real branded thing for them. Would you see a lot of, I know in your book Leftovers, you're also an expert in food waste. Do you think that Easter is sort of a red flag for food waste? I don't know. I just see an awful lot of people online trying to give recipes for eggs and unwanted chocolate. I wonder if it's a difficult time for food waste.
It certainly is. I think the most recent statistics were something like 7 million hot cross buns were going to go to waste over Easter in the UK alone. Total, it's 58 million tons or something like that is going to go to waste over Easter. So yes, it's been interesting kind of, I haven't found a specific recipe to use up leftover hot cross buns from the past, but certainly things, how to use up leftover roast meat.
Think that maybe when there's something that's such a strong tradition, but maybe a new generation aren't, like I find that hot cross buns are something that maybe my grandmother, grandaunts, that generation still really like. That if you start to notice that something is going out of tradition, that we often don't, I guess, metabolize that information and then make less. You know, people think, oh, hot cross buns, it's Easter. But they don't think, actually, people don't really eat these. So maybe we should make fewer hot cross buns.
Yeah, so I think it's the same, like you say, those spices that we also associate with the Christmas holidays, things like Christmas pudding, Christmas cake, those sort of things also, I think, end up going to waste these days because those aren't really the flavours that at least a newer generation are particularly fond of, I think.
Crisp, it's all that really heavy sort of fruit. And I guess maybe at a time when sweet things weren't as ubiquitous, you might have really looked forward to a hot cross bun. And now it's I've just had, you know, my own weight in Easter eggs. So I'll leave your little bread treat and butter snack.
Yeah. And perhaps that's why, I don't know if you get them over there, but there's some bizarre new flavours for hot cross buns over here now. Toffee and chocolate.
Salted
and
caramel. Yeah. Like I was talking about Marks and Spencer's. There's all different types of ones. And I don't even know, like, is a hot cross bun like a scone? Do you just put butter on it? Or do you also, like, can you do jam, marmalade, Nutella?
That's a big debate, isn't it? What's traditional? Probably just butter.
Yeah. You see,
nice and warm as well.
It's not, and they're not the most, like, they're not very, they're not very TikTok friendly, you know, like nobody's going to be. But whereas if you melt your chocolate and you make something that you can put on TikTok, then it's also content that you're going to get likes for. So maybe that's how we need to reduce food waste, by only making food that is aesthetically pleasing for the internet. Thank you so very much, Dr. Eleanor Barnett, food historian and author of Leftovers, A History of Food Waste and Preservation.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.